preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Our scripture is Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3 again this morning. And I want to read it for us. And for those of you who's been following us on this program, we've been teaching from this Hebrews chapter 6 from 1 to 3. We've been presenting to you the seven first principles of the oracles of God, or seven foundational teachings of Christ. This is what we've been bringing. This is our third week in coming on this issue. And so we'll be reading the same scripture again to you. And so let's read together. Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit, and God will grant us that we will move on to perfection in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven demands it. We need it for the church of Jesus Christ to be what God has ordained her to be. Before I go on, I want to call your attention to a scripture that is very important when you come to some scriptures and some teachings like this. And I want to commend prayer to you. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Let us see a scripture there that may help us before I go on. Luke 24. And I want to read verse 45. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand these scriptures. Let me read that again. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. This is the Lord here opening the understanding of the disciples, that they may understand the scriptures. And I pray that this will happen. We all need this. We need God to open our understanding, that we may understand the scriptures spiritually, not intellectually, not theologically, not even religiously or emotionally, but that we may have spiritual understanding that God may grant to us. It takes Him to open it for us. And I pray that your understanding will be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to commend to you, and I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. For those of you who have been listening, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we've been looking at the seven oracles of God. The first oracles of God has given to us in Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll be talking about the doctrine of Christ. That is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And when we are done with this, then we'll look at the remaining six, which is repentance from dead works, and of the doctrine of faith towards God, and of baptisms. These are the way we have been going. We want to look at this whole seven. And I'm just preparing you again this morning before we go on. We have highlighted the fact that we want to look at all these seven We have been looking at the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Christ, the understanding of Christ, what we should know, what we should do, what it will do for us. And then when we finish with this, then we are going to look at repentance from dead works. And the next one will be faith toward God. The next one will be doctrine of baptism. And the next one will be the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. The seven of them. Like I said, we've been looking at this, the doctrine of Christ, the revelation of Christ. And that's why I read that scripture saying that God may open our understanding so that we can have spiritual understanding of the scripture. Some of the scripture we have been bringing, some of you may have never considered them, may never have looked at them in this light, particularly on this subject. And therefore, we need to ask the Lord to grant us understanding. That's why I read that Luke 24 and verse 45 to us. Now, I want you to pray this prayer with me from Ephesians chapter 1. Please join me as we pray together for ourselves. Chapter 1 verse 16. May you just join me in prayer. I cease not to give thanks, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the prayer. Listener, let's take that prayer together from verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, from that verse 16 to verse 23. Let's take it together once again. I cease not to give thanks, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, you can mention your name, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And I put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May the Lord answer that prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to highlight to you the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a minor God, it's not a small God that came and died for us, it's not an angel that came and died for us, he's the Lord God. That's what we have been sharing with you. For those of you who are just hearing us for the first time today on this issue, we've been covering this. This is the third week, and I pray that you may have access to what we have taught. If you write us, we may be able to give you some of these things so you can take time to listen to them yourself. I pray that the Lord will grant you that revelation and that understanding. Now, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and whom he is. I want to read a scripture for us so that we'll clear this. I want to read Matthew 28. I want you to listen carefully. And I want to read verse 19. And which is say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, The Lord here was addressing his disciples or his apostles. He was giving them his last charge, and was committing to them a great task of discipling the nations for him. And very important. And here he said to them in verse 9, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The ministry of teaching, to teach nations, to disciple nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we know that one of the things that he asked them to teach is to baptize people. And he told them how to do this baptism. We are going to just briefly mention this today, or touch this issue today. We'll touch it more elaborately later as we go on in this program. But I just want you to see here that when the Lord said to this apostle to baptize, he coded this language. It was given to them in a coded manner. Because if I were there and I was one of the apostles and I didn't have understanding and I didn't know what he was saying, there was one or two questions in my heart. The first question would be, well, yes, Lord, you said we should go and we should baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The question would be, Lord, what is the name of the Father? And what is the name of the Son? And what is the name of the Holy Ghost? Because here he did not tell them what that name is. He only said, go and do this. If I tell you, go somewhere, go to a bank, and go and withdraw some money in my name, you will ask, what is your name? How are you known in the bank that you're asking me to go and get this money? Then I will have to give you my name. But if I tell you, go and do this in my name without telling what my name is, the message is not complete. It's either you already know my name, so that I don't need to tell you. And I think that was the case with the apostle. They knew the name. Or the Lord expected that, having been with him, we know Jesus had already asked them who I am, and they have already said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's possible that the apostle, they already knew. Or it was the fact that Jesus was believing that after his departure, the Holy Ghost will teach them what is the name. Anyway, Jesus didn't tell them the name. So he just told them, baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That would have been my question. What is the name? And then, again, another question would be, not just what is the name, but I will ask, what are the names? Because if I say the Father, if I imagine my heart that the Father, the Son, there are three different personalities, and then I will have to say, what are their names? That would be the second question. Obviously, the apostle didn't ask that question, but I think we should ask the question, what is the name? Or what are the names? If we imagine or we believe that there are three. Now, the best way to solve this riddle is to see, how did they carry out this instruction? When we see how they carry out this instruction, it will help us to follow them. So I want us to go to the book of Acts, and let us go and see from one passage to the other, how did they understand what Jesus said, and how did they carry out what Jesus said? How did they implement what Jesus said to them? So let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I want to read Acts chapter 2 from verse 38. And it said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, Peter. You were told to go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you are saying, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. What happened? Maybe, if we think naturally, we would have concluded that Peter was disobeying what Jesus said. But that is not the truth. The truth to me, to my mind, is that Peter understood what Jesus said. He decoded the message, the mystery. He knew that the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is indeed the name Jesus Christ. Now, that's what we see. That's how we can also say maybe Peter is wrong. Maybe Peter was wrong. Maybe he didn't. Let's go further, and then we'll also look at other scriptures and see. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 8, and then we'll see again. Philip went to Samaria to preach the gospel as an evangelist. And after preaching and getting men saved by their faith in Christ Jesus, after repentance, then he baptized them. And then we are told, Let's read again now from Acts chapter 8, and I want just to read from verse 13 and 14. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means, again, Philip baptized these people in Samaria in the name of the Lord Jesus. Possibly, he too understood, isn't it? We must agree that he understood what Jesus said, isn't it? Because it's so clear here. Remember, we said earlier, last week, the intention for teaching this is not to bring any controversy, but to look at the scripture. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We must come that the Lord may give us understanding in the scripture. That's why we pray the prayer. That's why we look at the scripture. That God will give us understanding. We just follow the simplicity that is in the word of God. Without any jargon, without any theological argument, without any traditional argument, without anything. Just come simply to the truth. The Bible says that that simple people had Jesus gladly. Jesus was not complicated. He was not speaking something too far out of their reach. But then they recognized, but he spoke with authority. He was communicating to them. God came down communicating with man in such a simple way for man to understand. But yet they were able to send authority. That was not teaching them like the scribes and the Pharisees, who would quote so many sources and quote so many other teachers to make their point. He was so simple. You know, Jesus said, it has been said to you by the Pharisees, thou shalt do it. But I say to you, do this. Simple. Please, let's come to the word of God with that simplicity. And I want us to go on and we'll see more scriptures. Just look at the scripture as they speak to us. There are other passages, but let's just go again to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is the story of Cornelius, who also, as a Gentile at this time, and who also received the Lord Jesus Christ and also was baptized. And then we will see that in Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That was Peter commanding that Cornelius and his household be baptized in the name of the Lord. Again, we see there the way the apostles carried out the instruction that we read in Matthew 28. And then please go with me as we now go to another man. We can say, well, maybe they did not continue. Maybe Peter did that at the beginning. Maybe, okay, Philip also did that at the beginning of the church, and they did not continue that. But I want to show you, many years later, maybe more than 20 years later, when Paul also was converted, began his ministry in the city of Ephesus, we will see also what Paul himself did. Acts chapter 19. I just want to read from verse 4. It says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've given you not just one or two now, but about four. If you are sincere and you want to learn, you want to follow the scripture without any argument, you will just accept that the apostle couldn't have been wrong. And we can't be better than the apostle. They were given this message direct. And I don't see why anybody should try to improve or do something, should try to claim that he knows better than the apostles and he's doing something better than the apostle. They were given this instruction. They did not literally just go and baptize and say, I baptize in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. They baptized him because they had a revelation of that name, the revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the revelation that in that name, everything in that name is involved. Everything in that name, the name the Lord Jesus Christ, is a name that takes in everything, everything of the Godhead. This is important. So the revelation, your revelation will determine what you do. Your revelation will determine where you are. Because apostles, they had this revelation. And there's so many times today you see people doing different things. It just tells you their revelation, their understanding, the understanding of the scripture they have. And so please, we have shown again from this scripture that this is what the apostle did. They baptized. They understood what Jesus said to them. And I think we should go back to the simplicity that is in Christ. Like Paul said to us, that we must not move away from that simplicity. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he just put them there, gave them simple instruction. It's when the devil came that he introduced something complex to them. And God is never complex in this way. He's simple, and he wants us to just follow him in simplicity, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Listener, I hope that what we're sharing with you is blessing you. That's the essence of coming here. It is not to stir up any controversy, just to bring the blessing of God to you. I know there will be many questions in your heart. Some will say, well, if Jesus was God, whom did he pray to when he was praying? The Bible says that let us create man in our image. Who are the letters there? Well, we hope that we will answer these questions as we move on. But I would like to say to you, when Jesus prayed, he prayed as man, because he came to show us how a man should follow God. Yes, as a man, he had to pray. He had to pray. And as a man, he prayed to show us how to pray. And I believe as we go on, some people have also asked the question, okay, when Jesus left heaven, and who was then taking care of heaven? And that, I also believe that the scripture will answer such questions as we go on. But we just want to leave you with this, that the revelation of Jesus Christ is to give to us something spiritual, something tangible, is to give to us that spiritual authority, that power behind that name. Is that when we have this revelation, God is able to build a church that the gate of hell will not be able to prevail over. The church, we say again, is not buildings that is made by hand. The church is a people. A people of revelation, a people of understanding, a people who know the God that they serve, a people who are not worshiping as if they don't know the God that they serve. And their knowledge and their understanding of God they serve gives them something, gives them an edge over the enemy, gives them power and authority. Like we have always said here, we believe that Jesus is not coming back for a powerless, confused, helpless, a weakling church. We believe that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot, without wrinkle. But before that will happen, the Bible says something has to happen. There will be a washing of the water by the word, the ministry of teaching, to teach us the truth about the scripture, that will wash away all the filthiness, all the spots, all the wrinkles away from us. And so that we can become that bride of Christ, that glorious bride of Christ that he's coming for. This is our reason for coming, and we hope that our coming today has been a blessing to you, that by listening today, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ has increased, your appreciation for him has increased, that by coming to you today, your affection for the Lord, that our coming to you today has created a hunger and a desire in your heart to know more of him, to seek him. If that has been done, we will be happy, because that is the reason why we've come, to make him know, so that when he's lifted up, he will be able to draw all men unto himself. We trust that you have been drawn to him today, even if it's in a little way, to look up to him, to seek him. Those of you are hearing me and you are not yet born again, you are not yet a Christian, I just want to say to you, he came to die for you, to die for your sin, that you will not go to hell, that you will not be destroyed, that you will not go into destruction, but it's simple that you should come to him, to acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior, to repent of your sin and to receive him, that he that can save you from sin. Jesus did not come to make us religious. He came to make us children of the living God. May the Lord bless you. May your life never remain the same. May the presence of the Lord come upon you and make you whom God has ordained you to be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again. endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.